from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hello. Welcome to the best day of the week. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm. And we're hanging out with you until noon right here on ESPN 1320. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Kyle.
You said Sunday's your favorite day of the week.
I think it is.
We don't have a show that day, so
we
don't get to tout your favorite day of the week when it's your favorite day. But if it was, we would make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, I mean, especially like there's a time of year where you can get up early and watch like EPL early in the morning.
English Premier League.
Yep, and then you can just basically from 10 o'clock until 8 o'clock at night watch football.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like my
strong
ideal
day.
Yeah, that's my ideal day.
Yeah. If I didn't have writing and podcasting and stuff to do on Sundays, I think I would be more with you.
Okay.
But Sunday's like work day, so I gotta punt Sunday toward the back of the list for me.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, even the Kings don't play a ton on Sundays, you know? And
yeah,
and
that makes sense.
It's either a 3 o'clock game or a 6 o'clock game, and even that is way better. Like, the 3 o'clock game to me is spectacular.
Oh, dude, that last game of the year, a 12:30 start...
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
You get done, I'm home by like 6.
Yeah.
Like, this is spectacular.
You're home at the time like Mike Brown is finishing up his pregame presser usually.
Typically. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, man. Good morning, everybody listening on ESPN 1320 on your radio. We appreciate you. Maybe you're listening on the free Odyssey app. We appreciate you as well. And of course, if you are watching on Twitch and YouTube, we appreciate y'all as well. Come hang out with us there. Maybe you're on your way into work. And you're driving, and you're like, man, I got to turn the show off when I get out of the car. Well, you don't. You can hop onto YouTube, you can hop onto Twitch, you can hop onto the free Odyssey app, and you can rock with us all the time. Or you can download the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show podcast. You can subscribe to that wherever you get your pods. There's so many ways to access this show.
There are a lot of ways to access the show.
Anybody that's like, oh, I couldn't listen. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
You can listen after the fact.
You can listen to the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show after the fact. It's the same. It's only different.
It's like DVRing, but we're recording it for you and then sending it to you. You don't even do anything. It just comes straight to your phone. Hey, so we'll talk about the NBA playoffs from last night, and I have some fun games I kind of want to play throughout today. But ESPN dropped their top 25 NBA draft prospects to kind of kick off the NBA draft season. As the first round comes to an end, that's when things really kind of start, except for, you know, their team's still playing in the playoffs, but the NBA draft has kind of started for fans of teams that are not the playoffs. I get fairly deep into the NFL draft just because of my various jobs and stuff. And if the Kings were in a different place, if this was 2017, we'd be all in. We'd be diving into who are the top 25 prospects. Is it better to take a player here? Who could fall to them? Da 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 da. We'd be looking at that. We'd be looking at the lottery. How high can they climb? et cetera, et cetera. How much should I care this year? Should I, because the Kings currently are slated to hold the 13th pick. They have the 0.8% chance to jump into the top three.
I think it's, okay, so first of all, it's the top four now.
Top four.
You can move into the top four. I think they have a 0.8% chance of landing the top pick.
The number one.
The number one.
Got it.
And then
okay.
like a 3% chance of moving into the top four.
Okay. So
something
that,
like that.
Right. So we'll get to that. You know, that would obviously change things dramatically.
Of course. Well, maybe. I mean, it's just not a good top
end.
It's
a weird draft.
It's a weird draft. I mean, even I was looking this morning, and we're bringing this up because ESPN drops their top 25, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their top 25 prospects for the 2024 NBA draft. And like Klingon is number three.
The center from UConn.
Yeah. And like, I'm not sure how I would view him like in comparison to like Walker Kessler, who
sure.
went like number 20
yeah.
or number 22, whatever,
yeah.
right around there. So that's where I kind of look at this draft and say, what in the world? Like that seems really strange that's how this draft could play out, that there are players that really no one has a ton of faith in. Now, I think that there are going to be decent players in the 10 to 15 and 10
sure.
to 20 range for sure.
Sure.
And there's probably going to be one or two out of that end up being way better than what happens at the top end of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But saying all that, I think the Kings at number 13, like there's going to be someone who falls in love with that pick with a player around mm-hmm. there. And I don't know if that's going to be the Kings. And I think the Kings are going to be open to moving that pick. And, you know, they have an opportunity to move it. Basically, they can draft a player for another team. They can't trade the pick beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But we can kind of see what happened last year where they drafted Olivier Maxens Prosper for Dallas
mm-hmm.
At number 24 and then traded him along with Rashawn Holmes. And what people need to know is that trade didn't actually go down until after the moratorium.
Right.
So they had to wait like another week in order for that to be official.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see a very similar case this year. And I'll do my standard draft prep where I go through the top, you know, maybe 20 prospects and
okay.
really kind of do a deep dive and watch a bunch of film on them and all that stuff. But at the same time, I don't believe the Kings are going to be a team drafting. I don't think that they will look to draft. I think that they will look to move that pick for a rotational player or move that pick to like pick up a first round pick in 2026 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do that, then it gives you more leeway as far as like the Stepien rule
sure.
and what you can do to move your picks.
Sure.
So I think that I would leave all options open. There's always a possibility that there's someone there that they fall in love with. But the problem is there's either really old prospects in this draft
mm-hmm.
or they're really young prospects.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it feels like everybody's either 23 or 18.
Yes. And the Kings are more looking for like a 21-year-old.
Sure.
They could maybe step in and play first year like 15 to 18 minutes a
Keegan
night.
Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
But in a lesser role.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe they find that. Maybe they do find that type of player. And, you know, it's something that they can kind of like, you know, draft and just plug and play. But I don't think that player is really in this draft. And I think there are players, you know, maybe that will go in the top 10 that would fit that mold a little more, you know, mm-hmm. a little closer to what they... And then I think there are some players in the 20s. But this whole middle, this whole 10 through 20 area, it
sure.
looks like either a bunch of old prospects or a bunch of really young prospects and a bunch of young European prospects too, or young G League Ignite prospects. And I think you're going to have a tough time like really gauging who any of them are and how close they are to playing.
So not at all is what you're saying. I'm not diving in.
No.
Great. Good to know.
No, it's okay.
I'll have my finger on the pulse, but I'm not going to deep dive the prospects 10 to 18 who might get there for the Kings.
I would even say like the crazy thing is if somehow the Kings lucked out and say they moved to like number two in the draft, number three in the draft,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I'd feel differently. I think I would look at...
Oh, come on.
No. I mean, I don't know that there are players up there that can help you reasonably soon. Like whether
but in terms of trading that pick,
well, no, that would help.
Number two is going to be more valuable than 13, no matter what the draft looks like.
No, of course, of course, sure. You would be able to move it. It would be easier to move. Well, maybe it'd be easier because look, there's going to be a certain value on the number two pick versus a number 13 pick, and I'm not sure teams are going to give up a whole bunch of value to move all the way up into the top half of this draft, mm-hmm. knowing that there aren't star level players, or at least. They're players that don't project right now as star level players. There's some potential there, mm-hmm. but there's no one that just blows you away and like, oh, I've got to have that guy. There's not even a Chet Holmgren or a Jabari Smith Jr. Mm-hmm. or even for me, like even a Keegan Murray at the top end of this draft. It's really kind of, it's an odd draft.
All right, great. I'm not doing any work on it then.
Okay.
I'll just listen to what you have to say and all.
You just make me do the work. It's fine. I'll give you cheat sheets.
That's perfect. That's all I need. No, I was looking at those top 25 prospects. I was like, oh, sweet. Like, players to discuss and think about. Probably not.
No, I mean, again, you have to look at.
I'm going to pick three players. I'm going to go through them and watch some guys. I'm going to do some reading. And I'm going to pick like three players that I just adore.
Okay.
And those are going to be my guys. And that's it.
No, that makes perfect sense. I just like the way that I look at this draft is very specific. We have an understanding of who Monty and West draft.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken one young player, one 18, 19-year-old, and it was Jamias Ramsey. And their first, we're at three drafts now. Like we have enough of an idea of who they draft. And then I look at this draft and I go, okay, I don't see that prospect for them. I don't. They know what they need. They know the type of player that they need, and I don't see that player around their range. Maybe they move back. Maybe they move forward, but I would say that there's a higher likelihood that they move out and that they use this pick to try to get rotational pieces that can help them now.
Hmm.
But we'll see.
I guess.
Have I ruined the draft for you, Kyle?
No. It's just they're in just such a strange spot as a team, and I get that, you know, a team will fall in love with the player there. I don't know. I'm gonna have to do some work on the draft.
Okay.
Because about the time I don't is about the time they're like, yeah, we love these six guys, and if one of them falls to us, we're gonna take them.
Okay.
I don't know.
Hey, if that's the way it goes, if they get put into that situation, then, I mean, they're going to draft. If they can't find a reasonable deal to improve the team.
Okay, so that was, I guess, my one hang up there.
Mm-hmm.
Is they will draft someone if there's...
They're not going to move back
for the sake of it.
It's like they get to their pick, they're like, pass.
Yeah, right. Like they're not going to say, hey, we'll trade 13 for the 37th pick. Like they're not gonna just for the sake of it.
No, but I definitely could see them trading 13 for a 2026 pick, because if you get that pick, that allows you because of the Stepien rule, it allows you to trade your 2027 pick,
mm-hmm.
because there's no longer the possibility of you not having a pick in 2026. Mm-hmm. So I could see them doing something like that, where they're just kind of manipulating their picks a little bit, or. Hey, you know, maybe it is a deal where they trade a couple of players that they have and they move back 10 spots to pick up someone else,
mm-hmm.
and you know, like try to improve their roster that way. But I still have a tough time thinking that, like, I don't believe, looking at the draft, that there's going to be someone around their range that can help them this year, next year, maybe even the year after that.
I would hate it so much if they traded this year's pick for a 2026 pick.
Yeah.
I would hate it so much.
Yeah.
I get it for the most part. I would just really hate it.
Yeah, just remember that pick's going to make $2.5-3 million. And, you know, if that's going to be the difference between you being able to stay under the luxury tax and signing Malik Monk and using your mid-level, then okay, that's fine.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Yuck. All right. We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs. We'll have plenty of NBA draft stuff coming up for you. We'll talk NBA playoffs. Clippers get blown out last night. The Heat get blown out last night. We're going to cancel some teams.
Yep.
For next year. We're going to punt them into Narnia. And then we've got some games to play today. I have some fun things I want to do.
Oh.
Throughout this Thursday, best day of the week right here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm telling you, man. If you're not on YouTube and Twitch, we hang out during the breaks. Where all the good stuff happens. Talking so much boxing.
You learn our boxing takes, like, right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, man. Just can't wait for that. Canelo... I'm not even going to try and pronounce that person's last name.
That's why you didn't choose him, isn't it?
Yeah, huh? So it's like Mungia? I have no idea.
Wild.
Somebody asked me who I'm picking. So I went with Alvarez.
You went with the one that you could pronounce his name.
Correct. It was that easy.
Amazing.
Get the Los Angeles Clippers all the way out of my face.
Okay.
I'm done, dude. I'm done. I bought in earlier this season when they had that stretch so they were like 28-6. I bought in and I was, oh, hey, the Clip. This is, the- hey, they figured they with James Harden and Paul George, and I kept wanting to say Paul Pierce, and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, he's healthy now. Watch out. Here they got, oh, Zubats and Plumlee. They got, I talked myself into it. Norman Powell, Terrence Mann. Like an idiot. Like idiot. A dummy.
I'm an idiot.
It just... No, it was dumb. It was always going to end like this. It was always going to go this way. It turns out James Harden, not a playoff dynamo. Who would have thunk? It turns out Paul George is right. Paul George came out on his podcast a while back and said, I came to grips with the fact that I am no longer a one on a title team. Mm-hmm. I can be a two. I used to be a one. I'm no longer that. Well, guess what? With Kawhi Leonard out, Paul George has to be the one. Russell Westbrook, not that guy anymore. Russell Westbrook, actively bad now, by the way.
He's been actively bad for 5 years, and people want to ignore that. Like, don't believe the stats. Like, how many times have I watched him against the Sacramento Kings pull up for an 18-foot jumper from the elbow and somehow hit the side of the backboard? Like, he has not been good at all. And every once in a while, he comes in the game and he makes an impact. But for the most part, like his skill level has diminished to the point where he's still physically gifted, but
right.
Like he can't put it all together anymore.
Yeah, the Mavs are actively wanting him to shoot.
Of course they are.
It's really bad. And I got bamboozled. I got suckered. And the Clippers last night in Dallas showed us who they are. That was embarrassing. That third quarter was embarrassing. Mm. They had no fight. They got nothing from Paul George. They got nothing from James Harden. They got nothing from Russell Westbrook. And guess what? Ivica Zubats is not that guy. Terrence Mann, not that guy. He's had some nice moments, but not that guy.
Terrence Mann, to me, I mean, he gets lumped in with this group, but he's the guy who's out there fighting and doing the best he can to try to stop one of the great...
I have nothing against Terrence Mann. Terrence Mann is playing well. But Terrence Mann is not good enough to carry a team in a series.
No.
And that's kind of what it looks like he has to do right now. Norman Powell, not that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of, like, are you injured or are you hurt? And, like, we keep asking this of Kawhi Leonard for the last, like, 7 years.
Yeah.
And, like, to just leave your team out there, and I guess it's possible that he can't play at all. I mean, clearly he's not playing.
Sure.
But I can't imagine just leaving my team out there to lose like this in the first round when, you know,
yeah,
like help the team.
I've stopped trying to figure it out with Kawhi.
Yeah.
There's something with his body that does not allow him to play in these spots. That sucks.
Yeah.
It's going to get lumped in with that. You talked about this when I was buying into the Clippers. When I was sitting here going, hey, look at Kawhi's healthy now. Look at Paul George and James Harden. It's all working. And you were like, is Kawhi going to be healthy in April? Is Kawhi going to be healthy in May? And he's not for hurt, injured, whatever. Something is going on that he has decided or he has determined or team doctors or whoever has determined that he cannot play basketball.
It's wild.
Which is just kind of what you have to expect at this point. It sucks. Kawhi's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best players of this generation. Titles with two different teams. Finals MVP with two different teams. Like he's been remarkable, but he's not reliable.
There was a point this season where people were like trying to put him in the MVP discussion.
He was really good for a while.
Yeah, and look, he got his 68 games, so he can make All NBA.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you were voting All NBA right now,
yeah, right now. No,
like no.
It doesn't all work.
You yeah, but I mean, but you should have been able to predict this. This is who he's been, and so I don't know what to say. As long as if
you were an NBA voter, you wouldn't vote for Kawhi Leonard because of what might happen in the playoffs.
No, no, I would have to at least consider like his stats for this year and whether or not he's all NBA, mm-hmm. right? But at the end of the day, I'd also have to look at the fact that. He played 9 games, 60 games, 57, 52, missed an entire season, 52, and then you put a mandate that he has to play 65 games to make All NBA, and he pops out with 68.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, okay, you know what? I might need you to prove it to me that you can do it more than one time in 7 years before I put you in All NBA again. Now, if he was so far and above everybody else, then sure, I'm going to put you in there.
Mm.
But I don't know. Like, we make guys earn it when they're coming in,
mm-hmm.
right? And not only that, but you gotta
Paul George has, or Kawhi Leonard hasn't earned it?
Well, no, I thought he did earn it a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
But at what point do you no longer have that cachet? And I think for me, like we've reached a point where there's been a long stretch here where he doesn't have the same cachet that he did before. Mm. Like, okay, when you play, you're really good, but like, how am I supposed to judge you when you don't play the normal amount of games? And the one time that you do, because they put a rule in, then you're done for the playoffs.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. I'd have a tough time.
Interesting. Yeah, where were we with the Clippers?
Well, we're like punting him. We're punting him into like...
Who was I dragging? No, I was going to drag somebody else.
Oh.
No, I don't think I have anything else to say about the Clippers. Get him out of my face, dude.
Yeah.
I want no parts of him. Big shout out to Jason Kidd, though.
Okay.
Because your boy had Luka Doncic less than 52.5 points, rebounds, assists last night.
Mm-hmm.
Luka gets taken out with like 5.5 minutes left in the fourth with 52. Like, come on! Shout out Prize Picks. Here we go. This is the other thing. Jaden Hardy.
Yep.
Who played...
Kings legend, Jaden Hardy.
Jaden Hardy, yep, Kings legend. Played 5 minutes and 39 seconds for the Mavericks and scored 14 points.
What?
He outscored James Harden, who played 33 minutes and scored 7.
Well, clearly he's a better player.
Paul George, 4 of 13 from the field, 15 points. Just a joke, dude.
Yeah.
Stink. They stink.
I think that they're at the, you know, sort of the idea that we're coming up with here is that their potential to win a title is closed, and they're likely getting bounced here in the first round. And then where do they go, like moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
And again, like you can try to build this team up, like however you want. The fact is that you get to the postseason and guys just aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's that they can't like elevate their game, or they literally just don't play.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a bummer, but like I don't know how you move forward if you're them. And you know, again, I don't know how long you have Kawhi Leonard under contract, but that's the one where I would just be like, how do you build a franchise around him? You know, it's one thing we're watching. This is I think you owe him 52.3 next year, 50 the year after that, and 50 the year after that.
Yuck.
Yeah, and he'll start next season, he'll be 33. So 33, 34, 35 year season, you still owe him $153 million. That is a lot of money.
Oof.
For a guy who cannot like find a way to perform in the playoffs. And here's the thing that I will point to.
Oh, he just signed that extension.
We've got in Philadelphia, we're all watching a dude who has Bell's palsy, who has just went through knee surgery,
mm-hmm.
then gets an infection, and the whole half of his face is slumped,
mm-hmm.
and he's going out there and dropping 50, fighting for his team every single night, whether you love Joel Embiid or not, mm-hmm. there is no question that he is out there in a state that he should not be playing.
Yeah, right.
Like battling.
Regular season, Joel Embiid would not be playing.
Right? No, he's doing everything in his power to try to will his team to the second round with mm-hmm. the hopes that maybe he heals up enough to be more of the player that he is. And then you got other players who are just like, okay, I'm good. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I have a really hard time with the injury stuff because I'm 100% like I'm with you, but also I don't know
I get you.
I'm not in Kawhi Leonard's body.
Pause. Yep.
I don't know what could maybe his knee when he takes a step is screaming at him and he just cannot do it.
Yeah.
He's tried or he can but he's just not good enough and. He's feels like he hurts the team by playing. I don't know. But like you said, juxtaposing that against what Joel Embiid is doing or watching him drag himself up and down the court, it's pretty stark.
Yeah.
Pretty stark. All right. We're going to cancel some teams for the 2024-2025 season. I'm already done with several as championship contenders. But then also something we didn't talk about yesterday. The Knicks want to pursue Devin Booker, apparently.
Hmm.
I don't know why teams keep trying to do this. It doesn't work.
Nope.
We're going to tell you why next on ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us on a Thursday. He's James, I'm Kyle. Want to remind you while you're here to download the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're like, hey, oh, different content, because that's a different name than this show. No, same content. So if you miss anything, that's where you can go find it. We upload the whole show, we upload each hour. And it's all there for you on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But download the free Odyssey app while you're at it. Apparently, the Knicks want to pursue Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
And I am baffled why teams continue trying to do this. And this is not trying to go get good players. That's the point of team building. Like, no doubt. And I understand the allure of looking at where the Suns are, where they have Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Brad Beal, and Grayson Allen all making a ton of money, and they're just kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look like the moves are going to be there for them to provide enough of an upgrade around those four players to make some kind of championship push. So the logical conversation turns to like, hey, well, what if Kevin Durant asks out?
Mm-hmm.
What if Kevin Durant wants to be done? Eddie Johnson was on 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, our sister station, and said, well, Kevin Durant's not going to give up after year one. I'm not ready to say all that.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to put that level of faith in it. But maybe he's right. But the Knicks are looking at that situation. I'm sure other teams are as well. And going, oh, there's a chance here. We can put together a really, really nice trade package to try and lure the Suns into trading Devin Booker. Where my mind goes on this is, okay, let's put that on the table. Let's say the Suns are like, hey, yeah, we're willing to listen on Devin Booker. I don't think they would, because it's something we talked about earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
Ownership groups and teams take fan sentiment into account at least a little bit. Not always, not all the time, and not sometimes more than others. But the optics on punting Devin Booker, who has been with the Suns his entire career and is beloved in the city of Phoenix and the greater Valley area, he's beloved by Suns fans. Brad Beal's going to be there. Kevin Durant's going to be there then. And punting Devin Booker would not be conducive to enticing people to be Suns fans, which is part of the calculus. My question comes from the Knicks, though. Because why would they do this? The Knicks were the number two seed in the East this year. The vibes are great. They just acquired OG Anunoby in, what, January? And he was hurt for a significant portion of the time he was with the Knicks. They have not been able to get Julius Randle back into the fold here.
Nope.
And they're on the brink of punching their ticket to the second round. And they'll have a real chance to win that second round series and go to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know why he would blow this up. I don't understand. There's not that we talk about urgency with the Kings, right? Like, there's a little bit of urgency for the Kings. But with the Knicks, there's not, like, they're there. Like, they are very, very close.
I would say too, with the Knicks, they've been planning for, like, they've been collecting assets quietly,
mm-hmm,
while building out this team,
mm-hmm,
for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They've set themselves up that if the right move is there, that they can strike.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that mean? Because, like, right now we're watching a team that's motoring. Do the Knicks need more? Heck yeah, the Knicks need
no
more.
No doubt. No doubt.
Like, they've got to figure out their center position. You know, again, if Julius Randle can't get healthy and stay healthy, they need more depth there.
Mm-hmm.
But you have this whole Villanova thing. Like, you're going to have to break up the Villanova thing in order to go get Devin Booker.
Right. It would take a lot, is my point.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, what is it? Like, what are you going to get out of it? And how do you piece it together once you do that? Because then you end up, like we talked about yesterday, which you don't want to be, as teams talk about, you don't want to be the Atlanta Hawks, right?
Yes.
Well, you also don't want to be the Phoenix Suns, where you cap out on talent and there's no way for you to maneuver around. It doesn't matter how much high-end talent you have. If you don't have a fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth man in your rotation, you're shot.
Look at the Suns!
The Suns. They are literally, you don't want to be the Suns.
The player you're acquiring.
But the problem that you also have is that owners are blinded by this stuff. They're crazy. And Matt Ishbia, like, goes out and like talks about how, like, what do you say, 26 other teams would trade their roster straight across for his roster with his draft pick situation, everything else. You're like, bro, that's not true.
We'll give you the, here, you want the Matt Ishbia sound right now?
Yeah, let's hear it.
This is, you want a little insight into the mind of an NBA owner. Here's Suns owner Matt Ishbia at his end of, season presser.
Oh, it's extremely fixable. I mean, let's just be real, although this isn't a cool narrative and the national media really won't want to play it out there, but like, ask the other 29 GMs. 26 of them would trade their whole team for our whole team and our draft picks and everything as is. Like, the house is not on fire. We're in great position. It's not hard to fix. It's not like we're like, hey, we don't have enough talent to win a championship. We have enough talent to win a championship, right? Do we have enough continuity? Do we have time together? Like, there's a lot of things we can look at. Do we have, like, the right leadership in place? Do we have to add some little pieces around that? It's not like we don't have people that can score the ball, not that play defense and have one champ. Like, we have all the things. And so how fixable is it? And, I mean, if I read the media, I would think we have a lot of problems. But luckily, I get to spend time with, you know, the best players in the world, in my opinion, the best coaches, GMs, see, like, all these people, and I get to spend time with our people and say, we're in really great shape, and I wouldn't trade our team or our situation for anyone else's, except for I'd like to be playing right now. But besides that, for, like, how going into the offseason, I feel great about it. It's not like there's a lot of other teams that have good players that have to re-sign them or they're going to lose them or that they're unrestricted free agents. Like, our starting five's coming back. I feel very good about it.
What?
Let me read you an excerpt. This is, I believe it's from a John Hollinger piece. As long as they stay over the second apron, the Suns cannot aggregate salary in trades or take on more than they send out, and they are limited to signing minimum contracts in free agency. They also cannot send cash out in trades, generate trade exceptions, and then he throws in a barb, or use the internet. Like, they can't do anything. Like, hey, Chimezie Metu, want to come back?
That's right. Well, he goes, there's a lot to be said for continuity. Like, okay.
Well, that, and you said earlier that this is, you know, that Eddie Johnson said year one, Eddie Johnson, right?
Yeah.
He said year one. No, this is year two of Kevin Durant in Phoenix.
Yes.
This is his second year there. And I hate to tell you this, but dude's 35 years old and just played 37 minutes a game, and you still got your butt bounced
right
in the first round.
Right. And easily, like handily. Like, yeah. It wasn't close.
No.
Kevin Durant is not getting significantly better.
No.
Devin Booker is peaking as a player.
Yusuf Nurkic is not getting any better, and there are no teams that are lining up around the league to take Nurkic onto their roster.
And guess what? Grayson Allen probably sees some regression next year.
Yeah, it's possible.
I mean, that's such a, like, corporate mindset that Matt Ishbia has. That, like, actually everything is good. And actually this plan is going to work. And actually what I'm going to do is I'm just going to say a lot of words. All he basically said there was, we're not screwed.
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
Nuh-uh.
We're just, maybe we need new leadership. It's like, you're going to talk continuity and then they're going to fire Frank Vogel?
That's exactly what he's...
Yeah, maybe
I'm around the best coaches and general managers in the world. You know, like, out there. Not here, actually.
Not where I'm at.
But out there in the world, there are... I talk to people like, oh, great, we're glad... Dude, the house is on fire.
It is very much on fire.
Your hair is on fire too. You just don't know it. Like, man, not just your house, but it's actually consuming you right now. And we're not national media. We're people who watch basketball.
Right.
I'm someone who covers basketball and has for a long time.
Like, dog.
Like, your team is in trouble.
The narrative around the Phoenix Suns. I'm sorry. You're not the Lakers. You're not the Knicks. You're not the Celtics. You're not the Warriors.
No.
Like, you're the Suns. Who, like, good team. Like classic, been around. Phoenix, a great basketball town. I love going to Suns games. But nobody's trying to drive a narrative about the Suns that's anything other than, like, oh, hey, that's happening.
Eesh.
That's what's going... I also want to quibble. He said there's 26 teams who would trade spots with us right now.
Who are those other three teams?
Okay, so here's who wouldn't for sure. Boston, right?
Nope.
OKC?
Nope.
Denver?
Nope.
Minnesota?
Nope.
The Clippers?
Probably not. Probably not.
The Clippers, probably not. The Mavs? Mavericks?
No, probably not. It's probably a coin flip, but I think that they would rather have their roster.
Pelicans?
The
Mavs are not even a coin flip for me.
Okay.
I'm taking Luka Doncic and whatever over that.
Here's the other problem, too. It's not like... Like, if the Clippers lose, they can sit back in and their general manager can say the same exact thing. He could go on the same exact rant.
Exact same.
And he could say, hey, look, we didn't have Kawhi Leonard the whole...
Sure.
But what is his son's excuse? Oh, man, you know, if only we had our best shooter. Like, no, Grayson Allen doesn't mean the difference between you getting swept and you winning a first-round series.
Exactly.
There's no way for you to get better. That's the problem.
Right. He's talking as though they lost game 7 of the finals.
Yes.
And he's going, hey, a little tweak here, a little tweak there, and everything. Like, no, you got swept in the first round after barely making the playoffs.
By a team that has not been there before at all.
Ever. That's not true. The Timberwolves haven't been there, but.
Yeah, but it's been a long time. And this iteration of the Timberwolves?
They were in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, but I mean they're not a deep playoff team.
Like, yes, no, they haven't been out of the first round since 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways.
Wild.
They've been in the playoffs 3 years in a row though. Hmm? I'm sorry, 2 years in a row.
2 years.
3 years. 3 years in a row.
Is it three or were they?
Mm-hmm. Oh. 21, 22, 22, 23, and then this year.
All right.
But they should not, with those three players, because he's talking about in theory. Mm-hmm. In theory, these three players should be great together. Like, in theory, yeah, but Brad Beal is clearly not the player they thought they were acquiring. Kevin Durant was great, but is aging.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about timelines and urgency, like, they are a right now team.
Yes.
And Devin Booker is in his prime.
Yeah.
And it still wasn't enough. That's a tough spot to be in.
Mm-hmm.
The Pelicans, would they trade situations with the Suns right now?
Probably not.
I don't think they would either. The Lakers?
Maybe.
I don't think the Lakers would, because at least they have a little bit of flexibility.
Okay. I mean, they do have some flexibility, and they have some younger players that right. actually, you know, that they like whether I like Austin Reeves as a ball player or not,
mm-hmm.
Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, you know, they do have some, you know, either Jared Vanderbilt, they have all the guys on like player option contracts that I wouldn't really want back, but mm-hmm. yeah, Christian Wood, you've got Cam Reddish. Yeah. Like you have a handful, you've even Gabe Vincent who was hurt all year.
Yeah.
Like, so you do have some potential.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, the Suns don't have any of that potential.
They have nothing.
And the Lakers have draft picks now.
Mm-hmm.
Like once they get to July 1st, they have their draft picks back.
Yeah,
they have a few that are tied up, but like long term, they might have three draft picks that they can trade this offseason. The Suns are, they can't trade anything.
They have nothing.
No.
They have nothing. They have no picks. They have very little flexibility against the cap.
Yeah.
The Kings, no. The Warriors, probably not. The Rockets, no.
No.
They're not trading spots with the Suns.
No.
This is, we've not even finished the West yet.
Oh, yeah.
And we're 10 teams in who would not trade spots with the Suns. And I mean, Matt Ishbia is trying to say there's 26 teams who would.
And look at the flexibility that Philadelphia has. I mean, I don't think anyone loves the situation they're in, but they walk into this offseason with like $6 million cap hold for Tyrese Maxey and then Joel Embiid, and then that's it.
That's crazy.
So what do you got? Like, I don't know, $80 million to spend? Something wild. Orlando?
Do you buy the whole LeBron Philly thing because Bronny was at Villanova?
Oh, huh? Okay. That's where Bronny went, and he's not going to Villanova, is he?
Not officially.
Okay.
From what, maybe he met with a Villanova coach or something like that.
Oh, that's possible. Yeah. man, I don't know what's going to happen there. His family is in LA and he's got a younger son too.
He's going to re-sign with the Lakers.
Yeah.
LeBron.
Most likely. I mean, he can even play out his final year contract here at $51 million and just, okay, and then figure out what he wants to do.
Would you sign into the max extension if you're the Lakers? 3 years and whatever it is, 180?
Well, I don't know that he wants 3 years. So I think I would add 2 years to his deal, so he's 3 years total. But yeah, I mean, I would if that's what it takes. But I would also say, hey, man, you do make like hundreds of millions of dollars outside of the actual your NBA contract.
Yeah.
Like if you want to.
Okay, bro, you're a billionaire. Can you help us out?
Yeah. If you want to actually like build your brand, you know, and what you could say is like, and hey, we'll even cut you in later down the road if you want to be part of ownership. Mm-hmm. Although I think he already has his eyes set on like Las Vegas.
As
far as ownership stuff.
An expansion team, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting, but like if I'm LeBron, like just, I would have to consider taking like $10 million a year just to like be able to build a team around me for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Like why not? Opt out, take way less. I mean, if money isn't not an object, you know?
Except LeBron the GM thinks LeBron can build a team around him that can win even if he's making all that money.
Yeah. Good luck with that. He's been proven wrong many times.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get inside his head. I don't know. Fascinated by the Sixers. Fascinated by the LeBron thing, too. I do think he's going to wind up going back to L.A., though.
So who are we killing for next year? Who do we think is done? All right.
Okay. Here's the teams that I'm canceling for next year.
Okay.
As NBA, like, title contenders. And I mean this from the standpoint of, I mean, 86ing, like, there's nothing they can do this offseason that could make them that level of team.
Okay.
The Suns are one of them. I don't think there's anything the Suns can do this offseason that are going to make me believe in them.
No.
The Trailblazers I'm putting in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm... the Trailblazers, I don't want to put the Spurs in.
Okay. That's fair.
Because I think there's a leap coming for Wemby where they don't need to get that much better to be really, really dangerous. So I'm not going to cancel the Spurs.
Okay. I think they're more like 3 years away, in my opinion.
Probably. I'm talking just no chance.
Yeah.
So this is really... This Clippers and Suns are done for me.
Okay.
I'm out. I see no path.
The Clippers and Suns. Yes. Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement.
The Pelicans. Putting them there. Done with the Pelicans.
I'm not.
Okay.
I still think that there is a way for them because they have two players on their roster that I think that they can go and swap out for another all-star level player.
Okay.
And so that's where I look at them and I think, you know, if they move Zion or if they move Brandon Ingram, there's a way for them to get way better in a weird situation. So, you know, like again, I don't know how much this makes them better, but would the Cavs consider Jared Allen for a Brandon Ingram trade? And that surprisingly would, in my opinion,
be fascinating
because you have Trey Murphy there. Mm-hmm. That would make them a much better team and like
really
open things up. So I think that there are ways for them to get better and to jump back in the conversation.
I love that. The Pelicans are uncanceled. The Lakers?
Yeah, no, there's no way. I mean, they're the Lakers, so you always have to look out for like the stupid. So it's always possible that Danny Ainge will give them Lauri Markkanen for something silly.
Austin Reeves.
Like Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura.
Yeah.
There's always that possibility.
Sure.
And so they can jump back in, but I still don't understand how it could happen. I mean, there's still a team that got bounced in the first round, like easily.
Yeah.
And they're like a team that's had to fight their way into the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Yep. And they got a fully healthy year from Anthony Davis this year.
Yeah, and LeBron's still playing at such a crazy level at 39 years old. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. The Sacramento Kings are not canceled. As badly as I wanted to. I don't think I can. Because part of me sits here and goes, okay, if they're just going to ride this out, I don't think they're going to take that kind of leap next year. But if they make a couple of minor-ish trades and Keegan takes this leap that they're expecting him to take, then it has to be on the table. It has to.
Yeah, I would say that the Kings are...
They're not being canceled. Not doing it.
I think that they have to change talent. They don't have to have this gigantic upgrade.
Yeah.
What they do have to have is have different players. Yeah. So, like, again, not to, like, be, like, extremely specific, but, like, the Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes tandem can no longer be a tandem. Like,
basically, here, I don't, like you said, just to avoid being hyper-specific and call it certain players.
Yeah.
Outside of their three guys, Domas, Fox, and Keegan, everything to me has to be on the table.
Except for, like, unless you can add Monk to that. And then I would say Monk is off the table as
well. That's
not
up to the Kings.
No, no, so, I totally agree. Yeah.
So if Malik Monk is coming back, then sure. But of players that they have, for sure, I think everything has to be on the table.
Oh, I totally agree.
So that's not to single out Kevin Huerter or Harrison Barnes.
No, it's Davion. It's Chris Duarte. It's Sasha Vezenkov. It's... Yeah. Trey Lyles, all of them. Like there has to be an adjustment in roster in order for this team to take the next step, and we can see that. It's it's not like we're talking crazy. Now, whether you can accomplish that or not, whether you can use all these new mechanisms in the CBA or not, whether you can package some of your picks or find the right buyer, like those are all things that have to be considered. But at the same time, like I think that this team is still a team on the rise. They just took sort of a lateral move in year two of their build.
The thing that jumps out to me too, as we talk about the Kings, is they got enough defensive buy-in at the end of the year to make me think that they could look different out of the gate next year.
Yeah.
Where it's not as much of, and now all of a sudden some of those games they tricked off early in the year, they're winning. And now maybe they're sitting at 50, 51 wins. And that's where I think you could see improvement. So yeah, I'm not canceling the Kings. I'm not going to cancel Golden State.
Oh no, I'm canceling them. Like
definitely I'm leaning that way. And if you said I had to pick X amount of teams, then yeah, they'd probably be in there. But you talk about stupid stuff that could happen.
Yeah.
And you have Joe Lacob who's willing to pay whatever for whatever. And I think I think they're going to be one of the teams on the horn with the Suns and like, hey, it's Kevin Durant up to.
Yeah.
What's this look like? So I'm not going to entirely rule that out yet. I don't think the Rockets are quite there. So I'm going to cancel the Rockets. But again, these are teams that are down the list a ways. So.
Okay.
And then
that's just the West.
That's just the West. In the East, we'll go through it quick. The Bucks, I'm out.
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't know. I can't because it's Giannis and Dame.
Yeah.
And if they figure it out, they're going to be dangerous as hell.
Yeah. And they can still make adjustments. They can still make adjustments to that roster. I mean, some of their stuff is a little wonky. Like, again, I don't like Brooke Lopez on like a $23 million deal for next year.
No, right.
But if they're willing to give up Bobby Portis, I would probably take Brooke Lopez in a deal and just like, you know, go all in.
Sure.
But so I think there are ways in which you can sort of tweak that roster and make them better. And they're smart. Like they do. They're savvy with how they add pieces and they always have some idea that we're not seeing. And then you look at it, you're like, I don't know that really made that much difference. And then it does, you know, even like, I don't like Beasley all that much as a player, but, and I know you like Beasley, but that was an impactful move for them. And it's a under the radar sneaky move that like ended up being impactful.
Yeah. So I can't rule out the Bucks. I'm not ruling out any of the top five teams in the East.
Oh yeah.
Including the Cavs and Magic. Do we cancel the Pacers?
Man, they got so much young talent, though.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. They could have two or three guys take leaps next year where you're like, what is this team?
And it's not even the guys that you're
in a good way.
You're thinking, right? Like it can be Mathurin and it can be
Nembhard.
Yeah, and Nembhard and it can be Nesmith. Like,
yeah.
Those guys could all take like substantial leaps. Nesmith's still there, right?
I thought Nesmith got dealt.
It's possible. I might be wrong.
Nope, he did not. He's
yeah,
still playing for them.
Yeah, he's been playing defense. Like,
oh, Bruce Brown was the guy who got moved.
Yeah. Right. No, Nesmith is defensively has become really good. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy who came in the league as a knockdown shooter. And all of a sudden, you know, this year he's 12.2 points per game and he shot 41.9% from three. That's a guy like if the Kings were looking for a small forward. He's a dude who does some of the things that you're talking about.
Yeah,
super athletic. And he has way more offensive game than they're letting him show at this point. He was incredible at, or was he at Vanderbilt? Yeah.
Can't roll out the Pacers. Can't roll out the Sixers just because we have no idea what they're going to look like just yet.
Yep.
I'm done with the Heat.
That's
fine. Shout out to Heat culture. Mm-hmm. Shout out to them for being competitive. All due respect. I'm done being like, well, the Heat are dangerous. No, they're not. They're not.
Yeah. We were listening to a program when we came in, and they were talking about just the impact of Bam and how he, like to me, they were describing Sabonis. Like he can put up 24 units, put up 20 in every playoff game, mm-hmm. but his 20 doesn't feel as impactful as somebody else who might have put up 16.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, it's kind of the grinder mentality, and it's tough for that to be all that impactful. You need those points, but he's not going to go for 35.
He's not, right. He can't be your offensive one.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else is done in the East for me.
Yeah. Yes.
We got rid of fewer teams than I thought we were going to.
Chicago done. Atlanta done. Brooklyn done. Toronto is on the rise, but a long time away. Charlotte might be the worst situation in the NBA, and if it's not, it's Washington. And if it's not Charlotte or Washington, it's Detroit. That's it.
All those teams, don't think any of those teams are winning a title. I feel pretty good about making that bet. Okay, I have a fun game to play next. I'm really, really excited about it, and I hope you are too on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.